Thank you, Brother Roland and the musician. Thank you for this wonderful time of praise and worship. You can really sense the presence of God. I want to thank all of you for fasting. I want to thank those that enter into full fast and those that did not enter into the full fast. I want to thank the elders. I want to thank the staff. You are tremendous. You are really amazing, okay? I see some of you, you are really lost weight, but it's also good for your health. I want to thank all of you, okay, all of you, not just them, but all of you that enter into this fast, and I believe that God will hear our prayer, and I want to appreciate you, and I just want to tell you that you just continue. We already finished. Today is the first week, okay? Two Sundays from now, we can break already. Am I correct? Two Sundays from now, we can break the fast. So I think it is very good. It is very good. It is definitely good for your health. But as we grow older, we notice that we also have to be very, very careful. Okay, those that enter into full fast, I just want to tell you that, okay, especially people like Annalyn, okay, don't go into full meal immediately after the full fast. You can go into a shock, okay? Just break fast. Take lugao or take something light or take nibbles until the third day. Then you can go back to your normal meal. Okay, please, okay, everything is fine. We don't want anything to happen as a result of this fasting, okay, and put the blame on God. We also got to be responsible people. But again, I want to say that you have been amazing, and God bless each of you very much, okay? If you're a Bible, let's turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Then we're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Then we're going to read Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, okay? Next week, Pastor Lily will be sharing on the second week of fasting, and Pastor Carlos will be sharing on the third week of fasting, okay? I think it is good that we take turns, okay? We're going to pass more and more our responsibility to Pastor Carlos already. In fact, the elders meeting, Pastor Carlos and the team are already starting to meet on their own, okay? Without us already, because then they will come and give us a briefing. We are becoming more and more like guides, okay? Mentors, okay? We don't want to take up more responsibility, especially for this year, 2026. Okay, God is good. Joel chapter 2 verse 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, Psalms 51 verse 17. Father, anoint the word of God. I hide behind the cross. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And all the people here can do all things through Christ that strengthens them. And I believe and I claim it for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay. Joel 2:15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Then the last one, Psalm 61, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Okay, I'm going to title my message this morning, A Solemn Fast. A Solemn Fast. Biblical fasting is a voluntary abstaining from food and sometimes drink even. Okay, but for us, we did not abstain from drinks. There are people that go into 3 days fast without food and drink. For what? For a spiritual purpose. To seek God with humility, repentance, prayer, and dependence. I think the word dependence is very, very important. To seek God with dependence. Biblical fasting is not about manipulating God. Pastor Lily was talking about twisting the arm of God. But positioning ourselves, aligning ourselves before God. You know, a founding pastor was very critical with the senior pastor when this lady was fasting regularly and commented that the senior pastor was simply twisting the arm of God to listen to them, to listen to her through fasting. Okay, I'm not talking about our church, okay? I'm not referring to anybody in case you get misunderstood. I'm referring to someone, okay? I think it's very wrong to say that. Because no matter what, Even your motive is not very pure. Fasting will do you good. I can assure you that. Fasting has done nothing but good to this church. I just want to tell you that. Fasting is not about using God, but putting ourselves in dependence against the, again the word, independence before God. So we fast to humble ourselves before God. Psalms 35, 13 says, I humbled my soul with fasting. I humbled my soul with fasting. Fasting expresses dependence on God, humility before God, and surrender before God. So what can we learn about solemn fasting which our church has been undertaking for the next 21 days? Number one, an urgent call from God. He says here, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. So my message is not just born out of somewhere, but it is found in the Bible. Zion is the center of worship. Blow the trumpet in the center of worship. Zion is the place of God's presence. Blow the trumpet in the place of God's presence and God's rule. Zion is a place of God's dwelling. Blow the trumpet in the presence of God's dwelling. Where is all this place? The church. Zion, the city of heaven, the city of David in Israel. But it means also the church. This verse is a public urgent call from God to his people in a time of spiritual crisis. Joel is not addressing individuals alone. That's why I say, I appreciate all of you. You're amazing. We are united. It's really amazing. Okay, he's not addressing individual alone, but the entire church or the entire nation. To put it into today's context, okay, the verse is addressing the church. Each phrase carries a lot of meaning. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Firstly, we have the blowing of the trumpet. The trumpet is a shofar. Very loud. I think we have done it in our church. The trumpet was used to warn of danger. Was used to call people together. Was used to announce God's intervention. You know, I've watched closely the Russian invasion of Ukraine for the past 3 years. Coming to 4 years. The president of Ukraine, a Jew, tremendous guy, a Jew, has been amazing to stand up against Russia. Such a powerful, big countries. He has been special. Zelensky is special, I just want to tell you. You hear his speech. You hear him sit down and talk to the rabbi. You hear him talk. You know that he's not another person. He's special because he's the chosen people of God. And we are special because we are also the chosen people of God. We are not just another ordinary guy. And he's not just another ordinary guy. He is definitely a David against Goliath. Putin has called the war a special military operation. And he said it will end in 10 days. It did not end in 10 days. This coming February, it will be 4 years into the military, his special military operation. And I just want to tell you that 1 million Russians have already died as a result of this special military operation. This war is reminding me of the war in the Old Testament about how the people came against the king of Judah, and how they call out to God, and God wiped out the entire enemies. But one thing is that, Zelensky is amazing. He's able to stand up against the unpredictable Trump and the big bully Putin. I mean, he has been able to hold his ground, make his stand, and has been amazing. I think if you talk about winning a Nobel Peace Prize, I think he should be the one to win that. But quietly, I wish that Zelensky would announce a nationwide fast for all the Ukrainian, for the nations of Ukraine. I mean, they are Orthodox Church, and they too believe in God. To say that they have been suffering is an understatement. Every day, people die. Missiles from Russia will just go, and you will just... Russia bomb condominium, schools, hospital. Ukraine bomb their oil refinery, their aircraft place, and their airplane spot. That's the difference. To say that, I want to tell you that Putin is a very, very evil man. To do such a thing, he is very, very evil. Okay, but I wish that Zelensky would call for a united fast because they are really suffering. I believe that he had called a solemn fast, which means one of danger, call people together, and by faith announce God's intervention. Miracles will happen. I really believe that miracles will happen. You know, Abraham Lincoln, he called for a national fast in 1861, in the beginning of America's Civil War against slavery. In 1861, the beginning of the American Civil War. Do you know what happened? Slavery was emancipated. No more slavery as a result of that fast. And the Civil War, God was on the side of Abraham Lincoln's troop, the North against the South. And Lincoln won that war. So, because of that fast, see, America, to be very honest, is built on people's believing in God. This is how a solemn fast can bring about. We saw in the Bible when Nineveh issued a fast, the city was spared. So, I do not think that we are on the wrong track at all. We are not on the wrong track. We are concerned for the church. We are concerned for the conditions of the church. That's the main reason we have this fast. Am I correct? Because our motive has been pure, and we are declaring our dependence on God. Secondly, consecrate a fast. Consecrate a fast means set apart time for God. To consecrate means to make yourself holy and to set apart. It is not an ordinary fast, but a sacred fast. Focus on repentance, prayer, and returning to God. Pastor Lily said just now, it is not self-denial for discipline alone, but it's actually self-denial for dependence on God. Third, call a solemn assembly. Call a solemn assembly means summon God's people for a sacred, serious gathering before the Lord, marked by fasting, prayer, and humble worship. The phrase, a solemn assembly, the phrase in Hebrew means asara. Asara means stop normal activities and give full attention to God. That's what we are trying to do. Besides the church activity, we don't have any extra curriculum, extra activities, nothing, no extra thing for these three weeks. A solemn assembly is gathered marked by reverence, humility, repentance. Joyful celebration is replaced with quiet seriousness. No one is excluded. Leaders, elders, families, even children. God is calling His people to repent together because of sin, and renewal affects the whole community. So the heart of Joel chapter 2 verse 15 is to show that revival begins when God's people respond to His call. Not casually, but seriously. Not privately only, but corporately. This verse teaches that God desires repentance more than punishment. You think God loves to punish you? No, you're so wrong. God desires repentance more than punishment. God works powerfully when people humble themselves together. True fasting is heart transformation. I mean, like just now when Brother Roland was singing and worshiping, I believe some of you felt the same as me. You just want to cry because God is doing, making the heart soft already and changing your heart. Changing your heart. God is transforming your heart already. Not ritual. Fasting is not a ritual. I don't think we should make Evangel Tabernacle fasting a ritual. A solemn fast is not about abstaining from food to impress God or to impress others. No. It is a holy pause, a stop, a deliberate humbling of ourselves before God. When God's people proclaim the fast, when we proclaim a fast, when we announce this 21 fast, we are saying, God, we need you more than anything else. We need you more than anything else. In time of spiritual downness, crisis, deep needs. You have deep needs, am I correct? You have very serious needs in your life. Why don't you fast? God often calls you back, not through noise or activity, but through fasting in repentance, prayer, and why do we have this fast? Because the elders saw that our church, yeah, to be honest, like we have a combined service, we're around 400-500 people. But our elders is correct. We are not doing well. We are not doing well. Okay? And this cannot go on forever. That's why we want to have this fast. A fast go beyond skipping meal. It is laying down of distraction, pride, and self-reliance. The heart bows before God before the body feels hunger. Number two, so we call a solemn assembly. What is God's solemn respond to your solemn assembly, to your solemn fast? Number one, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Forgive their sin and will heal their land. God's people fasted in sincerity. When God's people fasted sincerity, these three things happened. God heard. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is very clear concerning God's response. Then will I hear. Look at the word then. T-H-E-N. It marks a divine response, a turning point, a showing up after a condition is met. Then, after you fast, after you repent, after you turn back, then I will respond. God is not a God that play hide and seek. Can you remember Elijah? He was making fun of the 450 prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. And they were running, chanting, and Elijah was saying, hey, where is your God? Is he in a CR? Maybe he's far away. He's far away. He did not hear you. And he did it, and nothing happened. So Elijah said, let me do it now. And he called upon God. He humbled himself before God. He kneeled down before God. And he just called his great God. And the next moment, the fire just came and consumed the sacrifice. Not only consumed the sacrifice, consumed all the waters in the sacrifice and consumed the entire place. God does not play hide and seek with us. God is not the kind of God. By fasting, we humble ourselves, acknowledging dependence on God. I think God cannot fault us, okay? Our church was a busy church. Let's be very, very honest and sincere. God cannot fault us for trying to grow this church, to make Christians committed before God. We've tried untimed times. We have EE, remember? We go out to the plaza, we go out to the hotel, Amigo Hotel, and we talk to strangers. We had harvest month, and until today, we still have harvest month. We have the G12. Then we have community penetration. We go to barangay by barangay and do community penetration. Then we have zonal evangelism. We have done everything. We have done everything. So this fasting is to acknowledge dependence on God and confessing that we cannot fix ourselves. I just want to tell you that those who are living in sin, you cannot fix yourself. You cannot fix yourself. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot fix this church even. And such humility invites the grace of God. So we seek the face of God. Prayer is relational in fasting, turning your heart back to God in worship, longing, surrender. Master Lily said, fasting without prayer is dieting. I think she has some, there's some truth in it. What happens if you fast and pray? God heard. Then will I hear. When God's people respond responsibly, God responds fully. He listens attentively to what we are doing right now. God not only hear, God forgave. God forgave. Sin is removed. Nehemiah 9:17 says, you are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You know, Nehemiah 9 is one of the clearest biblical picture of corporate repentance and revival. The people gathered in fasting, wearing sackcloth, confessing their sin, and listening to the word of God, to the law. They do not blame circumstances for their sin. They do not blame people for their condition, what they are right now. They do not blame. They just say, God, we have acted wickedly. True repentance is personal, honest, and humble. And God forgave. God forgave. Nehemiah chapter 9 is a powerful testimony. God is forgiving. You listen carefully. God is forgiving. God is patient. God is faithful. Even when you are repeatedly unfaithful, repeatedly rebelling. Repeatedly. And some of us, we are repeatedly rebelling, repeatedly unfaithful to God. God is forgiving. Why? Because that's the nature of God. That's the character of God. That's the mercy of God. So forgiveness flows from God's character. God's mercy. It's very easy to get right with God. I tell you, it's very easy to get right with God. It's very easy to get into the good book of God. Repent. God forgive. He's more willing to forgive than we are to repent. Nehemiah 9:18 says, you did not forsake them. God's forgiveness is persistent. Human sin may be repeated, but God's mercy is greater. God's forgiveness is not hurried or shallow. He withheld total destruction for many of you. Sent prophet to warn you and call you back and give you time for repentance. God's forgiveness is long-suffering. Number four, God not only hear, not only forgive, God revive. In other words, is then I will heal the land. The word is God revive, but the word is actually heal. Restoration comes to what is broken in your life. This has two effects. Firstly, for Israel, healing means restoration of crops, rains, peace, national well-being. Applying it to our today's context, these are tangible, physical blessing, family blessing, material blessing and bodily well-being. Bodily well-being. The first effect. Secondly, to apply it spiritually. It means renewal. It means fruitfulness in ministries. It means God's favor. I mean, look at Zelensky. It's God's favor just to me because he is God's people. And of course, he wants to live right and he loves his people a lot. He has God's favor. He really has God's favor. Putin doesn't know what to do with him. I tell you frankly, he doesn't know how to handle him. He sent assassinator to assassinate him, but they can never assassinate him. Why? Because God has put a shield, a protection around Zelensky. Why? Because spiritually it means renewal, fruitfulness, and God's favor. This is what we individually and corporately as a church need the most. We want fruitfulness in our ministry. We want growth in our department. We want God's favor in our home. We want health in our personal life. Health to those that are close to us. We want healing to our children. Healing the land is spiritual first, then outward. The phrase heal the land is rich with biblical meaning. It is not vague or symbolic. It is covenantal. It is covenantal. Heal the church. Heal us. Because we are covenant people. We are covenant church. Heal the land. It's covenantal, spiritual, and practical. Let's apply it to our today's context. The land is tied to covenantal obedience. Sin is resulted in droughts, famine, pestilence. Obedience brings rain, crops, peace, security. Healing the land means for us, rains restored, crops flourishing, plagues removed, enemy restrained, social and economic stability. I show that if you study history properly, every nation that experienced revival become a rich nation. You study history carefully. Revival had in America. Revival had in Wales and Britain. Every nation that had revival experienced economic stability and social stability. America need another revival today. Let me give you the Christ-centric link right now. On this point, heal the land. The ultimate fulfillment of this promise is not a place, a policy, or a program. It is a person of Jesus Christ. Jesus' birth bore the curse of the land. Why must heal the land? Because the land was cursed. Mother Earth was cursed. But the crown of thorns, the 40 stripes on his back, the nails on his hands, and the nails on his feet caused the blood to flow from the head to the sole of the feet onto Mother Earth. The cross stood between heaven and the land, Mother Earth. Jesus at the cross is the link, the mediator. That's why Pastor Lily said that. We fast not to get victory. Because Jesus has already won the victory. We fast to receive our victory. Because victory has been won. So today, we do not fast and pray and repent to earn healing, because healing has already been accomplished by Christ at the cross. Hebrews 4:16 say, we come boldly to Christ. When you fast, you come boldly to Christ and you say, Christ, thank you for healing the land. Thank you for healing Mother Earth. Thank you for healing my family. Thank you for healing my life. Thank you for healing my health. I come to you boldly, and I receive your victory and apply your victory upon my life, upon my family, upon my being. This is where fasting comes about. We humble ourselves in Christ because Christ has won the victory. We pray in His name because Christ has won the victory. In the name of Jesus, I pray for blessing in my family because in the name of Jesus, I have victory. We repent by His grace. Father, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. We are dependent on His work, the work on the cross of Calvary. Now, what is the expected outcome when we fast? I'm finishing soon, okay? Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Firstly, forgiveness is restored. Yeah. You want forgiveness? When you fast, the Bible says, if I have sinned in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Fasting results in repentance of the heart. Secondly, the heart is softened. You know, it's a very, very interesting thing. The heart is softened. When we announced about the morning prayer in the study hub, on the last Tuesday, that was our first morning prayer. I arrived at 6. The aircon was on. Nicholas helped to mop the floor. And immediately when I kneel down, then the people start coming in. The word of God just flashed to my mind. Just zoom in. He said this, the people have a very hard heart. They are in their ministries. They are in their about activities. They are in about the church. But the people have a very hard heart. I was shocked because it was very clear. They are going about activities, but they have a hard heart. Then on that Tuesday evening, Pastor Lily shared in the Oasis that evening about the hard heart. It was confirmed by God. One of the expected outcomes of fasting and prayer is the softening of the heart. You know, you can be doing a lot of things in the church, but you have a very hard heart because of pain in your life, unresolved pain. Yeah, you have a very hard heart because of circumstances and because of failure in a situation, seemingly looking failure. And God told me that. God told me very clearly that many of the people in the church have a very hard heart. Another thing that God told me is that God said, they don't even know that they have a hard heart. They thought that they are fine. That's the thing that God spoke to me very clearly. Very, very clearly. One of the expected outcomes of a solemn fast is a softening of the heart. I mean, like just now we had Roland was singing and I just cried. Just felt, Jesus, you're so good. You come and save me. You are my Savior. You know, in this week of fasting, I was telling Pastor Lily that I have repeated flashes of incidences with my ex-church in the past. She was telling me that God is telling you, settle issues with Him concerning your ex-church. I had to soften my heart to forgive them. I have to forget. No, you know, God told me another thing that is very, very powerful about incidences with my ex-church. God said, you have to forgive them and accept them just as they are. Oh. You have to forgive them
and accept them just as they are. They are like that. In other words, you have to love them. You have to love them just as they are. I remember God brought me back many years to this guy. He really irritated me in the army. And I was so troubled by him when I was at the altar call one of the Sunday, and somebody come to me and said that you have to forgive the person and accept the person just as he is. I don't like his character. I don't like his ways. But when I was touched, I said, God, forgive me. I forgive him and I love him just as he is. He's like that. He is like that. He's different from you. You know what happened? He became my good friend. He became my good friend. And I'm trying to bring him back to church. He went to church as a result of that. But then he left church because he said just Christians. Sometimes Christian. He went to a cell group. And the Christian leader, the cell group leader, stole his wife. Yeah. And he cannot forgive. Cannot forgive. So I'm trying to bring him back. But what God was trying to tell me is that why did God give me repeated flashes of incidences with my ex-church? God was trying to tell me that you have to love them just as they are. Just as they are. Come on. You are make up that way. He is make up that way. We are the body of Christ. Can't you love them just as they are? But Pastor, what about they are like that? Let God handle the issues. Let God handle the issues. Third, spiritual clarity is renewed. Wow, this is good. Spiritual clarity is God-given ability to see rightly, hear clearly, discern truth in alignment with God's will. You begin to receive rhema from God. You see? You begin to receive rhema from God. You begin to receive spiritual download. You become more and more sensitive to spiritual things. Because your heart has become aligned with Him, you have a mind free from confusion, deception, and spiritual downness. And it's not mental sharpness alone, but spiritual perception restored by the Holy Spirit. You are able to see things in a spiritual sense very clearly. God, just give me a word for some of you. You have to come out of the hardness of your heart. Some of you. You think you are fine, but you are not fine. Okay? God said you are like that because of the trials of life. Because of what happened to your family. Because of what happened to your... I don't want to mention closer, nearer. God said you have to soften your heart. You have to come back to God. God said, I'll restore your life. I'll restore your past. I'll restore you. I'll bring back the blessing that is rightfully yours. I bring honor to you. God said, I'll bring honor to you. I'll not bring shame to you. But you have to get rid of the hardness and come back to God. Fourthly, God's presence is manifested. When we say God's presence is manifested, we mean that God makes His nearest power reality clearly known and experienced. Not just believe in theory. God is always present. God is omnipresent. But we cannot feel Him because of our spiritual downness. Okay? But because of fasting and prayer, God's presence is manifested. A manifested presence is when God reveals Himself in a recognizable way, in a tangible way. It means that we have this heightened awareness of the presence of God. And the heart is deeply affected by God's nearness. I love the song that we sang yesterday on the corporate prayer. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. One of the most needful things, one of the most beautiful things that you can ever have in your life is to have God's presence. Because God's presence is celestial. God's presence is heavenly. God's presence is sweet. God's presence brings confidence to your soul. God's presence gives you faith for the future. God's presence gives you calmness in the midst of anxiety. God's presence gives you joy in the midst of confusion. That is God's presence. And we need God's presence. Number five, healing begins from the inside out. God does the inside out. God does the inside heart. Okay. The problem is always internal. Many our problems are symptoms of an inner spiritual issue. I mean, Pastor Lily's deep level healing is very, very clear. Why are you like that outwardly? Because of some internal issues that you need deep level healing. Fasting brings healing on the inside. Healing on the inside. I conclude. Fasting is putting God first. Matthew 6, 33, 34 say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. When you humble yourself and draw close to God in fasting and prayer, He promises to draw close to you. James 4, 8 to 10 say, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. This is fasting. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of God. And He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of God. And He will lift you up. As you set a time to seek Him, you will hear His voice clearly. As you align your will more closely with His, He will add to you what you truly need the most. Pray and ask God how you will fast. Maybe some of you, as a result of this, you want to learn to fast. Yeah, try. Try. When Pastor Lydia and me, before we started the fast, we hold hands together. Father, we need your grace. We need your grace for this fasting. And God has pulled us through for the first week. And God will pull you through for the next 2 weeks. You understand me? So, let's come before God and come to the altar and say, God, we consecrate this solemn fast. We humble ourselves before you and we depend upon you. Not, our self-denial is not for account of self-discipline. Our self-denial is to tell you that, God, we want to depend upon you. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot fix this church. We've done all that we have done. So we depend upon you to fix ourselves, to fix this church. Musician, can you come? So I want you all to stand up. And if you say that, God, I want to join hand in this solemn fast assembly. I want to ask you to help me. And I want to humbly ask you to give me the grace. And I want to fast and pray. Because I want to call upon you. I want to depend upon you to fix my life, to fix my church, to fix my family, to fix my health. I want to speak to you right now in Rema. Those of you that are sick with a serious sickness, God can fix your health. When you depend upon Him, because the church is uniting corporately to pray for your health. So you just believe miracles will take place for you. So if you want to align and you say, God, I agree with what you say, I invite you to the altar call as we sing. As we sing. You can come as we sing.